Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, and welcome back to the Lisa Lisa Show. This is Lisa Lisa speaking to you live from the studio. Sorry for the delay, folks, but I really needed to get out of the house, and I was already running late. And I have to say, doing my car, my show in the car is no fun. And I'm having enough trouble with my phone. As we know, this is phone number 105. And the last few days, people are saying that they have a hard time hearing me. And I have to say, I'm not sure if it's my phone or their phone. But given my track record and history, there's a very good probability that it's my phone. And my year is up on the 24th of September, is the date I believe. So I have to get to, well, my track record in history, that's what I can say. So I've lots to talk about. I did an impromptu vacation to North Carolina. So I didn't do my show last week because I was in North Carolina. And, you know, I was on vacation with a friend, a very good friend of mine, and her, like, surrogate family is what I want to say, because she knows them 40-something years. And she's been really close to them all individually and as a whole. Very large family. And very, very interesting names, I have to be honest. Types of names that you just don't normally hear. And I've come across some odd names because I have a lot of foreign friends. When you're friendly with people that are not of America, the names can get quite unusual. Anyway, but these names are all, you know, they range. It's very, very interesting. And distant, well, actually not distant, and they're related to Frank Zappa. So that's kind of cool. Through marriage, but interesting as it is. I've always been a Zappa fan, and I've heard the stories. But, you know, when you put it together, very interesting. So you kind of get the idea of where the names come from and how they get to be so unique. So anyway, I was telling a friend of mine the story of my vacay, and she was very impressed with the fact that I could remember, no, excuse me, he was very impressed with the fact that I could remember so many names. I thought that was kind of funny because I'm pretty bad with names. So that was kind of interesting. But I have to say that it kind of reaffirmed my life for North Carolina, because I had a not-so-good experience in North Carolina in 2003 with my own family vacay. And, you know, just say that I wasn't a big fan. And now, you know, going back all these years later, 13 in fact, and staying virtually in the same location blocks away, I had a very, very different experience. In fact, I felt so in touch with nature. We took these beautiful walks on the beach, and we would gauge it. My friend was wearing one of those Fitbits, and the general walk that we would take was just under 4 miles. And it was on the beach, and it was a very short beach. So, you know, it's not like walking on a soft, sandy beach. This is the kind of beach that, like, pumices you and gives you the best pedicure on the planet, right? And it's probably one of the best workouts of your lives, because it's uneven terrain and painful to walk on at some point. It's not like the white, sandy beaches of Florida or any of the Caribbean islands. I want to say that Jones Beach is even probably a little bit nicer to walk on. And the Hamptons are fabulous to walk on. But this is kind of a beige, almost not ready for prime time sand. That's what I'd have to say. So anyway, one of the days, I think it was the last day that we had our walk, the day before we left. And that was Friday. And I saw a baby stingray being born out of one of those black pods. Now, I always knew that those pods were for some sea creature, albeit I was never sure which one. Well, now I'm positively, absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, certain of which one. It's a baby stingray. And like the turtle, you know, it's just it lands up on the shore, and then they're born. They wiggle their way out of the pod, and then they have to find their way back to the ocean. Little baby coming out, and I scooped it up, and I put it in the water. And I watched twice before it actually swam off with the tide, sort of dragged it off at the same time. That was pretty incredible. I also saved two small starfish. At least I'd like to believe I saved all these creatures. I'm sure I saved the baby stingray. Pretty amazing, I have to say. But the walks were really cathartic. You know, it's like the kind of walk that you go at your own pace. And my pace is kind of fast. I don't have a slow walking pace. And I didn't have my phone, so I wasn't stopping to take any pictures. There were no vlogs. It was really just an interesting thing. I really enjoyed it, I have to say. And so while I was out there, one of the day trips that we took inland, we found this guy, an artist. Sorry. There you go. All right, so we found this artist, and he had his own studio. It's really quite a nice space, big space, palatial, triple size of my space, and with windows, which is phenomenal. And he does his own paint night. You know, I do my canvas and cocktails. He does his own paint night. And we were talking about the size of the canvas paint on. And he thought that the size I'm using, which is the general average size in New York and New Jersey, he thought that was way too much space, you know, to do in 2 hours. I thought that was really interesting. So going forward, my next order of canvas, I'm going to go down a little bit in size. I think that that'll just make it a little bit easier. You know, it's kind of hard to find a place to hang something that's 16 by 20, 20 by 16, depending on how you paint it, right? For me personally, I would say that's a small canvas, but he thought that was ridiculous. He works on tiny in my book. I don't paint on that. I don't think I've ever painted that small, unless it was teaching a kid's class. But he does very vertical painting, narrow, long. And I don't know, the whole thing, we had a whole long discussion. And it just seems to me that the canvas size may be relevant here. So I'm going to try scaling it down just a bit after my next couple of paint nights, which I have two coming up. One is an invitation only, and that's for Saturday the 24th with a drumming circle to follow. And I'm really getting into my drumming circles. I'm really enjoying the whole, I just love it. And man, I'm gone in 5 seconds. I'm gone. So cool. And the next one will be for breast cancer, for the American Cancer Society, and that's going to be on the following Monday, so kind of doing a double hitter back-to-back, Saturday and Monday. And I already painted the painting that I'm going to be doing, and I'm doing the same painting for both Saturday and Monday. So I know that they'll be very different groups of people, so. Anyway, I kind of think that the scale of difficulty is a medium. You know, it's an interesting thing how you can scale it, because apparently people have a lot of problems painting, but, you know, the general consensus is it's not about the painting, it's about the experience and the good time. So my sister-in-law, one of the two, she tosses the canvas. She just throws it away. Another friend of mine just hands me the canvas back and says, I donate this back to you. My other sister-in-law, however, sort of kind of cherishes every single painting, and they're all over her dining room. Very funny. It's very sweet, actually. And then LC, who I went to North Carolina with, she stacks them in her office, and now there's only one painting that we did together that she's actually displaying, and then there's one painting she did without me that she's displaying. But the instructor drew a stencil. I don't agree with that. And that's what this artist and I were discussing in North Carolina, that it's not the same if somebody draws it on for you and you're doing, like, coloring book painting. I don't agree with that at all. So there you have it. That's my take. So being in touch with nature is always, like, magnificent, personally, for me. I just always feel so awestruck by the whole of being in touch. So I don't really need to delve into that too much more, right, as you get this. So there you have it. So before I went away, I saw a musical considered off-Broadway because of the amount of people that the theater seats, but it was technically on Broadway. It was Chagny, and the tickets were a gift from a friend. And I have to say, what a spectacular show that was. It was so enjoyable. It so exceeded any expectation if I had one. I had no idea what a talent Chagny was. Because, you know, you only see his movies. He was before my time. I never saw him perform live, obviously. But it was a very interesting story, and I have to say, no matter what, whenever you go and you see something on Broadway, it never, ever ceases to amaze me how talented the players are. I mean, just phenomenal talent, you know. But getting the backstory and seeing, you know, some of the people that I almost want to say that I grew up knowing, you know, as a kid, you know, or the years, the younger years, you know. Mid-younger years, whatever, story, and who was friendly with whom and how they interacted. It's very, very, very cool. I like that a lot. And then getting to see the patriotism and where they stand and how they feel, you know, when you think about it. I like that whole backstory. It's really quite interesting. Very, very interesting, actually. So on my trip home from North Carolina, we stopped in Virginia. It was on the way, it was no big deal. But to my amazement, I was introduced to a name I'd never heard before. This is a story and a man that I never knew anything of. I never even heard his name, nothing about him. And going to the Edgar Casey Institute and learning all this history, so we ended up spending 3 hours there. Because when we got there, we went into the gift shop, which was phenomenal. And then ended up speaking with one of the women behind the desk and getting a little bit of the backstory. And then she said, we have a class that's about to start if you're interested in sitting in. And this is a little quick video, a half hour, I guess, about his life and what he did and his achievements. So here's a good Christian man, Catholic, whatever, and somehow or other was channeling information on healing and everything from A to Z, you name it. And you could, you know, you can go into the archives and find cures for all these different diseases and ailments and such. His whole story is so incredible. Just one really quick, you know, a blurb of his history. So his wife had TB and was diagnosed to die. And he came up with a cure, you know, a channel, the cure for TB. And here's a really funny thing. I remember all those horror stories, and there was a TV hospital, what was it, in Pennsylvania or something. I remember seeing the shows on that. I also remember, I'm an American Horror fan, and they did the second one, The Asylum, which was a TV asylum. And they talked about the death of all these people that died as TV. And here's this man channeling the cure for TV without drugs. And he saved his wife. And all his thinking was like, why didn't they ever put that to practice? Why didn't anybody ever try it? Just try it. You know, it was around that same time. Found that really interesting. Now, of course, everyone would think, if witchcraft was such a big deal, you know, way back when, then this would be in that same genre. And they could, you know, whatever. But I just found it really interesting, his whole story about how he cured all these ails. Like, they have pages and pages and books and books and books and books on every varied subject, from dream interpretation to curing diseases to, I don't know, just so much information on every topic, you name it, it's there. Building, we walked labyrinths, that was kind of neat too. But the whole idea that there's somebody that was out there, and then there are a few people that, you know, followed forward in footsteps, but there was a man prior to him that did the same kind of thing, but he didn't have the type of transcription or a secretary or assistant that Edgar had. And so they didn't archive it as such. But that was pretty interesting. So if you're interested, I would definitely suggest or recommend looking up Edgar Cayce. And he spelled his last name Cayce. Really fascinating story. And a beautiful place in Virginia, right on the water. The trees are beautiful. The grounds are beautiful. They have a meditation garden. It's a great place. I mean, talk about holistic healing. Just really phenomenal. That is definitely one of the highlights. Now, a new amethyst geode is there that is just spectacular. And the depth of the purple is incredible. So I was very happy with my little gift today. So, yeah, that was just, you know, the way it goes, finding out these things, learning these things. But the more you think you know, the less you really know. I love to learn, so that's kind of cool. You know. So, anyway, as I've been going about my business, and just, you know, I took this little vacation, I have to say, it was something that was kind of, for me, perspective. I think I have a new calling. I think that I kind of discovered it. And it's something that I was thinking about recently. Because as I'm doing my canvas and cocktails, I've done art therapy. And I just seem to be able to pick up so much about a person, watching the way they paint, how they paint, their approach to painting, and their freedom within to just let it flow. It's really quite talented. So I think I have to play home. Maybe I'm supposed to do something more. I don't know. I'm working on it. So I don't know. It's kind of a, I'm not sure. I'd have to get back to that one as well. No. So I've extended my lease for another 3 months. And I'm back in that same situation where I'm going to have to leave. So I have 4 more months in my studio. I'm sure that by the time January comes around, if I really need to, I probably spend another month or two. But I have to say that I think I'm really ready to leave this space and be in something larger. Daylight is really a bothersome to me, and it's becoming more and more so. You know, the one thing that was interesting about Edward's case is he was talking about how important it is to meditate and what's the best time to meditate. Now, that's a great question, because I'm sure everybody asks that question all the time. And most people will say the best time to meditate is in the wee hours of the morning, 5 to 6 o'clock, get up, do meditation, yada, yada. And, you know, as a creative, they say that you usually wake up in the wee hours anyway. Well, I'm usually awake 1 to 5 in the morning. But according to Edward Casey, the best time to meditate is 2 a.m., winding down, but awake. They thought that was kind of an interesting tell. 2 in the morning, the best time to meditate. Kind of interesting. So I don't know. So I think that my calling is more, it's not just about teaching, because I already teach. But I think it's more about, I don't know, I don't want to say guided, fleshing itself out. Because my main calling is already an artist. I am an artist. I will always be an artist. And I will always do my artwork. And I lost a few weeks this summer because they were working on my building. And that kind of bothered the heck out of me. But after speaking with a few other people in my studio space, apparently I was not the only person that was affected by the dust, and the only person that actually voiced my, I think I'm the only one that, like, took it up a notch and brought it to the head of the attention of the rental agency. And thusly, I might only get 3 more months before they say, see ya, don't want to be ya. Who knows, right? It's okay. I think that this time I'm really ready, mentally, emotionally, and otherwise. So, yeah, that's good. So I ended up finishing, finally, the painting that had been started this summer. You like that? And I kicked it around for a while, but it really came together yesterday. And this morning I was thinking about it, and I may have to add just a tiny bit more to it. I will meditate on that one and figure it out. I'm very happy with it at the moment. And I already have the next painting in my mind, which came to me last night. I don't want to say at 2 o'clock in the morning, but it was sometime around 10, 11 o'clock, and then it just got stronger and stronger. So I haven't done anything quite yet, because I ended up getting to the studio kind of late, and now I'm here and doing my show kind of late. So, I, you know, after being a little off the last 2 weeks, actually what happened was 2 weeks ago, I realized that I was running late, and when I looked at the time, the show was already started, so I just canceled it. And then last week, the same thing happened. I was on vacation, and then I realized, oh, my goodness, my show is starting, like, momentarily, and I'm not prepared, mentally ready, or anything. And, you know, even though it wasn't my family, I still didn't have my phone on me. It was so nice not to have my phone in my hand. And everybody kept saying, take pictures of this, take pictures of that. And I was thinking, you know what? I'm here in the moment, and in this present moment, it's in my mind, and I'm absolutely clear on what it looks like and what it is and what it feels like, enjoying it in real life, not looking at it through the lens of my phone or camera. It's so much nicer. I like being present and not having my phone in my hand. I find it to be, you know, I really miss those days because we didn't have all that. But I know I say this all the time, the movie Cherry 2000, which is one of my favorite Melanie Griffith movies, but it's like that time, that technology is upon us. That's what it is. They would wear a watch that had a little video in it, and it's like, you know, the watches that they have, the Apple Watch. I don't know if you can see something based on the Apple Watch or not. Probably can. I don't own that. I don't like to wear a watch. In fact, I stopped wearing a watch a few years ago. Wasn't this for my energy, so I know, but it's true. Anyway, so in Cherry 2000, they wear it all on their wrist, and it tells everything about you. And I mean everything, your blood type, your social security, your address, your health records. And then you can get into, it's like your driver's list, everything's boom, right there on your wrist. And every time you go through anything, talk about your brother, they just scan your wrist, and bam, they have every single piece of information about you. There is no stone unturned. And that technology is right here. You know, they keep changing credit cards because, oh, yeah, and you could pay with your watch, like Apple Watch. You could pay Apple Pay. So anything you wanted, boom, you just show your wrist, and it's done. And now it's like they're putting a chip in credit cards because people can steal your information in a heartbeat. Somebody stole my information on the credit card I had a couple of months ago, and I didn't even know. And somebody was charging for it. I think we found it was like close to $900 had been charged on my credit card in 2 months. I had no clue. I went to pay the bill, and I was looking at it. I was like, that doesn't sound right. And then I went back, and I looked, and it was like little charges here and there. They cleared them all, but I got a new credit card, and it has a chip. And it's just like one of those funny things. Wow, that was fast, 90 seconds. Anyway, Big Brother is more than upon us. Big Brother is in your house. And I remember cameras, and put the cameras in his house. He said, well, now you just put Big Brother right in your living room. So I thought that was kind of funny. But technology is what it is, right? I don't know, we're still stardust, but 60 seconds. Anyway, so Big Brother's right there, right there, right there. Wait for that movie to come out. Anyway, I think it did. I think it was The Prisoner. I remember somebody telling me about that, and then I saw an episode in my teens, and then you could never find that show again. You know, there are a handful of movies and such that you cannot find, and I remember them. You know, Liquid Dreams was one of them. It's one of those cult classics. And now you can't find it. It's just nowhere to be found, you know. And I remember another movie, a horror flick. I never remember the name of it. Oh, yes, Demon Seed. And it was the same kind of thing. It was like the one eye robot, you know, where they have, like, the technology that's in your house and it can lock you out. It's exactly the same thing. So Demon Seed was like eye robot before eye robot was eye robot. One of those B-movies. Anyway, so that's it. That's all my time for today. And thank you for listening. And I hope everybody had a fabulous summer. Happy birthday to my niece, Eden. Her birthday's on Saturday. And thank you for listening. This is Lisa Lisa. I will be back, same bat time, same bat channel, on schedule next week, Wednesday. Have a great day. Safe flight to my friend JLM. Safe travels. Lots of love to everybody that listens. Thank you so much. Have a great day.